There are a lot of great ways to see our beautiful country, but few give you more of an immediate sense of being part of your surroundings than being on a bicycle right in the middle of all of it. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Brian Benson grew up in the North Woods of Wisconsin, and that was the starting point for his epic bike journey that took him to the Pacific Coast. He recounts that trip with his girlfriend at the time, Rachel, in the book Going Somewhere, A Bicycle Journey Across America. And Brian Benson, welcome to the Ideas Network. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks, Larry. I'm so excited to be on the show.
Oh, it's wonderful. Great to have you. You know, this is the perfect week in some ways to have you on because we are right smack here in Wisconsin in the middle of Grabar.
Oh, right. Yeah, my dad did that a couple of summers ago.
Yeah, it's a great annual bicycle adventure along the Wisconsin River. I did it, rode it myself, and I really kind of enjoy it. It's 430 miles or so along the Wisconsin River over a week. But, of course, it's quite a different experience than the one that you had.
I mean, a little bit, but probably kind of the same too. From what I heard from my dad, there's a ton of headwind riding on that route, so it sounds kind of similar to me.
Yeah, you're into the wind the whole way, but you also have sag vehicles and somebody carrying your stuff, and you know,
it's that helps. Yep,
and a very organized trip. So, and yours was organized, but you did it on your own.
It was moderately organized, you know?
Yeah,
We knew that we were on bikes and we were going to ride them and had a sense that we were heading west. So yeah, you know, there were a lot of ways that it was disorganized as well. But, but yeah, I'd love to do Grabauer at some point. It sounds really great.
It was actually really a lot of fun, and I'm planning to do it again myself. But you rode your bike from northern Wisconsin to Portland, Oregon, and I think the why of that is interesting. Talk about why.
Yeah. So the why didn't really initially have anything to do with a bike trip. You know, I'd grown up riding bikes in northern Wisconsin on back roads and in my small town, but I never really thought of taking a cross-country trip. And so after I graduated from college, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with myself and ended up traveling around and ended up in this town, Quetzaltenango in Guatemala. Yeah. Where I met a woman named Rachel who was singing in a jazz band.
Yeah.
And I totally fell for her and just kind of latched on to wherever she was going. I really wanted to be with her, both because I was in love with her and because it was this one singular thing that, you know, that I could focus on for the months or years or whatever to come. And it was just totally captivating. And so she brought up the idea of this bike trip when we were taking a walk one day, and just kind of instantly I latched down like, yeah, totally bike trip. I clearly always wanted to do that. And, so, you know, we also were from different places in the States. She from Portland, from northern Wisconsin. And so this was a way to ensure that, you know, when we got back from being in Guatemala, we'd be able to meet up. And so, yeah, you know, ended up going on the trip for that reason with very little knowledge of what it was actually going to feel like. And I ended up really loving the journey itself.
Yeah. Yeah. And you write very well. You're a good, very good writer. I really enjoyed reading the book. I want to let our listeners have a chance to join in, too, which I should have done right away, given the phone number. And ask, as you listen, have you ever taken a long-distance bike trip of your own? What was it like? What surprised you the most? Was it fun being with maybe a special person or special people? What would it take for you to take a trip like Brian's? Where would you want to ride? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. I enjoyed the whole book. Grabar took me through many of the places that you write about in Wisconsin and your first in the first part of the journey. I really enjoyed reading that a lot. What did you do? I know people are going to say, well, what kind of physical preparation? Well, you know, what about gear? How did you decide what to bring? You know, those kinds of things.
Right. Yeah. In terms of physical preparation, you know, we actually did do some training, sort of. So we spent about a month at my folks' place before leaving, doing some random work in the area around Conover and getting our gear together and riding. And, you know, we did some longer rides, but mainly it was just laps around the lake that my parents live on, which is 11 miles. Yeah. And so we do that, you know, a few times. Some, I think we got a couple of rides in of 40 or 50 miles, but the training that I really did was I got the chance to take a ride, an overnight ride with my dad about, I guess it was 2 weeks before the trip started, which was really great. I mean, he was such an inspiration for doing this kind of trip.
Yeah.
And he's done tons of loaded touring and all these, you know, supremely masochistic rides in Alaska and in Vermont with his friends. And so he got to take me on my first overnight tour for just a couple of nights. And that was really, really great for me to get sort of a sense for what it was going to be like. But, you know, really, we just trained on the first days of the trip. You start getting used to it once you get out on the road and work up to more and more distance. And then in terms of the gear, I think we just, you know, we asked people and we read way too many online reviews and got way too much info and didn't know what we should have. And so as I talk about in the book, it's not ghostwritten as well by Rachel. We dropped a lot of gear pretty quickly. You know, we had so much food that was unnecessary. We reproduced this Knowles backpacking cookbook like we were going to be out in the middle of the wilderness or something, not remembering that we'd be at gas stations every day. So, yeah, a lot of pretty common sense things we figured out very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see where you would. Brian Benson, our guest today, who grew up in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, and has written the book Going Somewhere, A Bicycle Journey Across America. He now lives in Portland, Oregon, where he teaches writing at the Attic Institute. His first book is a memoir, Going Somewhere, A Bicycle Journey Across America. And again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. I know what you mean about preparation. I did, you know, just for that grab bar, for example. We have a lake, and I ride around it, and it's 11 miles around, and then a few hills out in the countryside. And after I got back from Grabar, the next day I went up some of the hills in the area where I used to huff and puff going up them. I just went zoom right up those hills. It doesn't really take long to get yourself in a kind of good shape. Mm-hmm. Raul in Green Bay has something. Raul, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Well, we just landed. We are just enjoying this segment of your show. We just landed from Italy. This is our fourth trip as a family. We're a family of four,
uh-huh.
And we just go to places, and we just we spend this time our time around Tuscany, and we do segments of about 40 to 50 kilometers a day. This time was a week to small towns, and we use a base camp. But this is a family tradition now. Every summer, whenever we can, we just go. And the kids, since we're probably 5, 6 years old, and they were on tandems, and we've been doing that now. Of course, we participate on centuries and everything, and sometimes our kids say, oh, Dad, do you want to do another one? Particularly at the end of a long, long day. But it's a great way to bond and form memories, and a healthy way. And also give us an excuse to eat whatever we want at the end of our day.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the good things, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, sure is. Raul, that sounds amazing. I've got a couple of friends who have ridden around in Italy, and it sounds like such a different experience from the States in terms of the way the roads are set up and, you know, the towns as well. And the food that you can get, I've heard, especially at smaller stores. You know, here it's a lot of, like, gas station hot dogs and candy, which I'm not complaining about. But, you know, the friends that rode around there told me about, you know, getting sardines and olives and like, really, really great food, which might be a little bit better in the long run. But that sounds like some really great trips to do with your family.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, Raul.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate your call very much. And Penny in Appleton, I want to bring you in too right now. Penny, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've taken many, many long bike trips, and the longest one was a bike ride from Portland to, or from Seattle, Washington to Portland, Maine, the summer that I got married, and I got home a week before my wedding.
Oh, my goodness, you went all the way across the country.
That's right, all the way across.
Oh.
It's a great way to travel and see our country.
Yeah, Brian, do you ever want to do that?
Yeah, certainly. You know, it was kind of arbitrary that we started from Wisconsin, or not arbitrary, you know, it made sense to just begin from my hometown, but I would love to get over east of there. I've done now two rides between Wisconsin and Portland, and I've headed down the coast to Oakland as well, but I still haven't seen the Southwest on bike, and certainly not the Northeast, so yeah, I would love at some point to be able to finish the trip and many, many more. I agree. It's such an amazing way to travel around and meet people and see this country.
Oh, absolutely. So were you on a tour of Penny, or was it on your own, kind of?
It was all on our own. We started off with two women and ended up picking up some friends in Wisconsin and finished with four people. So
oh.
It was a very unsupported bike trip, just one that was a lot of fun.
Oh, it sounds great. Well, and again, here we've got here's Penny with somebody else, starting with one person and then adding a couple of people, and as you write, you know, you certainly were in love. You were in love with each other, but your relationship, a relationship can be tested.
Mm-hmm.
On a trip like this, a trip like the one you took.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think a relationship can just be tested, period. You know, in day-to-day things that come up anywhere, you know, just the little arguments and the misunderstandings that are a part of any relationship just get really amplified when you're both exhausted and malnourished and unshowered. And you know, those things become harder to ignore. And for me, at least, I can't speak for Rachel. I think she was probably more gracious about this sometimes. But, I mean, I would just misinterpret low blood sugar for everything else. And so, yeah, there were, you know, lots of opportunities to have these little spats. And then also on a larger level, I'm 6'2", and Rachel, I believe, is about 5'5". And our bodies are just built differently. I have longer legs. I can ride faster. And it's just this endless both of us the whole time trying to compromise and figure out how to both share the experience and also do it in a way that we both wanted that was comfortable for both of us. And it's difficult after a while, you know, when you're doing something so hard to be conscientious the entire time of somebody else's experience, and especially when you're at your absolute worst, you know? And so it definitely tested the relationship. I think that it made it stronger. I mean, Rachel and I are very close still, and going through, I wouldn't even say going through because it was really amazing, but having that kind of experience with someone definitely does a lot to and for a relationship.
Well, it's interesting to me because you, at one point, more than one point, actually, you talk about when you're riding, you're leading usually, and so you'd see yourself getting ahead of her, and then in your rearview mirror, and you'd slow down or get off the bike, you know, for some excuse just to have her catch up, and then so you resented that, got to resent that a little bit, but then she actually resented the fact that you were doing that sometimes.
Yeah, it was such a funny dynamic because, you know, when I met Rachel, I was in her place in this town in Guatemala, and from there on out, I really was. And I felt so much like I was following her, you know, insecure in so many ways about our relationship and just held her up on this pedestal. And so the idea that I would be in the lead and that she would be following me was weird, even considering the whole male privilege thing, you know, which I'm usually really attuned to. I kind of just wasn't thinking about that because I was so used to just like trying to catch up to Rachel. And so when that flip happened, again, just because of basic biology, it was this weird thing for both of us to negotiate, because Rachel also is used to it as well, you know, to being in control and to being pursued. And but yeah, she did several times, and it took me a while to actually listen to her say, just go how fast you want to go. I don't care. So, this is all just me.
Oh, man. Well, Jack in Marshfield has a question for you. Hi, Jack. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Ryan. Good morning, Larry. I had a couple of questions for Ryan. Excuse me. Ryan, did you feel like a salmon going against the stream by going east to west? Most people go cross country, go west to east, so they can benefit generally from the summer wind. And my second question is, did you utilize the warm showers group on the website? Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for both of those questions. Yeah, definitely did feel like a salmon going against the stream. We didn't make the decision to go from Wisconsin to Portland based on any kind of real information about bike touring. We just wanted to go. I wanted to show Rachel my hometown. I had blathered on about it, and this seems like a really good time to say that I just love Wisconsin and talk about it incessantly, so I'm really excited that I get to be on a radio show from Wisconsin right now. But yeah, we wanted to be there, and we wanted to go west, and that was the only real reason we did it. You know, we talked to a couple of people beforehand who were like, you're going east to west? You know, that's a terrible idea, right? We already made the plans, and we were in Wisconsin. So, yeah, we had some really atrocious headwinds. A couple of really nice tailwind days, too. But by and large, we were fighting the currents. And, you know, I had the chance to your second question as well. We didn't do warm showers on the first trip. Mm-hmm. We didn't really know much about it. And I think warm showers was around at that point. I know there's something called Hospitality Club that my friend Galen, who's also in the book and we rode with for a bit, utilized. But I did a trip by myself about 5 years afterward and rode back. And first off, oh, man, having those tailwinds was so much fun. It made it so much easier. And yeah, I used a lot of, or I was on warm showers a lot. I probably stayed with 10 different hosts from that network. And it was a great way to meet people, to get a different view into a small town, to have a shower once in a while. It was really great.
So these are just people who set up, who are a member of this kind of organization, and they just personal or private people who offer a shower.
Yeah, right. No, sorry for not explaining it. So yeah, it's like a couch surfing kind of thing, basically for touring cyclists, where people get on a network and they just say, you know, this is where I live approximately. This is how you can contact me. And I'm comfortable offering a bed or a backyard or food or a high five or whatever it might be. And so you can just give them a call when you're on the road. A couple of people I got in touch with just, you know, maybe 3 hours before getting in. And then they just welcomed me into their home. And I told my parents about that and they got really excited. And so they're actually now warm showers hosts in northern Wisconsin on one of the adventure routes, I think the Northern Tier. And they get a lot of people who stay with them. This guy, Sergey, actually stayed with them last summer, and I got to meet him in Portland about a month after he was with them, which was really fun.
Oh, very cool. Jack, thank you very much for calling. We're visiting today with Brian Benson, grew up in Wisconsin, the North Woods of Wisconsin, and has traveled across the country from Wisconsin to Oregon with his girlfriend, Rachel. And it's all in his book, Going Somewhere, A Bicycle Journey Across America. You may have a question for him or maybe an experience to share. I hope you will. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer today. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Visiting with Brian Benson, author of Going Somewhere, A Bicycle Journey Across America. And again, all our phone lines are filled right now. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Brian, we got an email, a note from a fellow in Black Earth who said, my friend Brady with two other friends are biking from Rice Lake, Wisconsin, to the Pacific Coast in Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
As we speak, and he is just now into North Dakota.
Oh, wow. Yeah, have fun. That's it's quite a state.
I hope the friend tells him about your book, because they should have a copy of your book for sure.
I'll say that North Dakota had really difficult or huge winds, but it was such a fun state to ride through as well. The people were probably the friendliest of any state that we rode through. And it's really beautiful in a very different way from some of the more majestic landscapes. Just
very different.
Fields rolling and rolling. And it's great that somebody from Rice Lake, my soccer team played them in high school all the time.
Well, he was wondering what kind of support or encouragement would be helpful for his friends on the road.
Yeah. First off, just that they're doing it. That is... just the idea of them being out there right now. I kind of want to go and join them. I think words of encouragement are that you're not always going to have a headwind in North Dakota, despite what you think. To do what you said and just, or maybe it was Raul actually, and just eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
I think that's the best part, is just focusing on the next really tangible tiny goal in front of you, whether it's passing out face down in a town park or drinking 2 liters of Mountain Dew at 7 a.m. or whatever it might be. I think just trying to find a way to, if not enjoy all the moments, because some of them are just really grueling, to just appreciate that you're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing thing to be up there.
I'm going to get to Rich in Manitowoc in just a second, but first, Nick on Facebook wonders, did you ride during storms?
We got so lucky. We didn't, with the exception of about a second when we were running from our bikes into a cafe, we didn't get rained on at all the whole trip. We did almost get caught in a storm. We were riding out of this town, Sykeston, in North Dakota, and having a really wonderful day because there was a tailwind, and it wasn't actually a tailwind. It was just this storm brewing on the horizon that was really nasty, and we almost were caught in a really bad spot, but barely made it to a town in time to escape it. And otherwise,
turn around and bike back 5 miles or something on that?
Yeah. besides that, we had really intense heat for a lot of the ride and a lot of wind, but it got very lucky with rain. And almost all the tours I've taken now, I'm going to find some wood to knock on here, but gotten almost no rain in any of them.
Rich in Manitowoc has a comment or question. Hi, Rich. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. I just want to say that I used to bike all the time. I'm in my 50s now, but back in my 20s, I used to do a lot of long trips from New York City to Montreal, from Montreal to Minnesota. And I used to ride a 27-inch Fuji, which I still have to this day that I got in high school, and I still ride it, but not as much as I used to because of getting hit multiple times with cars, even being careful. Cars tend not to see bicyclists. But my but my question is, back when I was in phenomenal shape and I was doing a century a day, and I used to bike with Vermont Bicycle Tours and did the state of Vermont with Vermont and other bicycle groups, I was always in kind of the lead, and just not because I'm the leader type, but with any physical sport, whether it's canoeing in the Boundary Waters, people tend to get a little aggressive when they're exerting themselves. And mm-hmm. I've had it more times than once. They say, could you stop being the first one? We're getting tired of looking at your back. And I don't know, how do you handle that if you've come across that situation?
Hmm. Well, with Rachel, I think on that ride, I think, and at least she said, that she wanted me to be in the lead because of just basic biology, I would have been right on her tail. And I think it was easier for me to be up front. That said, we switched a lot, especially in North Dakota. We would, go back and forth and draft off of each other. But I definitely understand that situation of just wanting to ride the speed that you want to ride and being out in front. I also get being in the other role. I remember riding with my dad on that initial ride before going on this trip, And, you know, he was in his late 50s at that point and just kicking my butt all over the place. And I was feeling so bratty about it. And, like, it was him, like, being that strong and in that good of shape was some, it was about me somehow. So, yeah, I think it's difficult, you know. You do get in this different kind of mindset when you're exerting yourself and, again, haven't had enough food maybe.
Yeah, that's great. But the last thing, I just want to make one extra comment. I've worked in physical therapy for 28 years, and I'm a really strong believer of bicycling, whether it's a stationary bike, just because most people that have total hips or knees that have weight-bearing restrictions also have muscle imbalances. And if they're walking, well, walking can be very challenging to the body, but cycling, which is non-weight-bearing, is an excellent form of exercise, and it's helped many, many people that I've worked with over the years, and that's what I'd like to end with.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for adding that. I wanted to say also, I mean, you know, about 2 years ago, I tore my ACL, and I still don't have an ACL in my left knee, but I, about 2 or 3 months afterward, rode back across the country, and it actually helped the healing of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked Rich's comment about the fact he still got that bike. That old bike, I have a Trek 2300, which is, it's a road bike, one of the composites, about 20 years old, and I just spent last year a whole bunch of money to fix it back up again, just because I have so many warm and fuzzy feelings about that bike, you know? Yep. So many good experiences, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles on it, and... So you write about in your book that you were happy to give your was a Fuji, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Your Fuji up.
It wasn't so much that I was happy to give it up. I won't give away quite why I gave the Fuji up.
No.
It is still kind of around. I missed that bike. But it was the bike that I'm on now was one that I got to build with some coworkers at this place, the community cycling center that I worked at for quite a while. And, you know, speaking of what you were talking about with fixing up your old bike, it's a nonprofit that gets donated bikes and fixes them up and gives them out to folks who can't afford them. And, I love the old steel bikes, you know, so many really, really great old Treks and Bridgestones and tons of other models come in. And I think that they're great for touring, right? I mean, I say that because a lot of intelligent mechanics have told me to say it. I've adapted it over the years, but I missed that bike definitely. But the bike I was able to put together, just it fits me a little bit better,
yeah.
And it's, you know, got a bunch of ridiculous Wisconsin paraphernalia on it, including some mud flaps that a friend made with Wisconsin on it. So it's hard to totally miss that bike. But, yeah, it's a lot of sentimental value with that Fuji, definitely.
Well, I'm just thinking about bike and fit. That was a problem for Rachel. And, frankly, you want to have a bike that fits properly. And you need to have somebody who knows what they're doing fit you, I think.
Yeah, I definitely do. I feel like I can't not say right now where I am, which is I'm talking in Gladys Bikes, which is a bike shop owned by my sister, who also lives here in Portland, Oregon, and it's a women's focused bike shop, the only one in the city. And it came to be specifically for that reason, because, you know, so many shops and bikes in general are set up for men's bodies. The top tube is generally longer because men have longer torsos, and you know, Rachel's experience on that tour, I learned, is really common, of having to stretch out way too much because she couldn't quite reach the bars and it wasn't set up for her, and having all these really difficult aches and pains. And so, Leah's shop is about, you know, doing fittings, professional fittings, and having bikes and accessories that actually make it much more comfortable for women to ride bikes.
Yeah,
I totally, totally agree that it makes the hugest difference if you have a bike that actually fits you, especially for that distance of ride.
Richard in Eau Claire, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah, hi. I don't want to talk long. Can you hear me all right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Simply saying that listening to your guest makes me want to read his book. I definitely will look forward to doing that. Back in the summer of 76, I'm just past, I'll say, my mid-50s now. So 38 years ago, I took the summer of 76 with my two elder brothers. We lived here in Wisconsin. We drove to Portland, Oregon with our mom and three sisters, seven of us in one car. Took a week. We shipped our bicycles to Portland. My mom and sisters drove home. My brothers and I headed north to Canada and went across the country that summer. Mm-hmm. And just had some of the most lifelong, wonderful experiences, people we met, people I try to emulate every day to today that taught me things about life and how to treat people. And we came across Canada, but we came down and got into northern Minnesota, top of Wisconsin and the UP, and then crossed at the Sault Ste. Marie area back into Canada. Northern Wisconsin Native Americans took us in, and they were the most wonderful folks there on the reservation, and we watched the Olympics with them. We hadn't seen TV in a month and a half. We had enough money to, I think we split a hotel room, the three of us, once. We'd been riding in the rain for days in the Canadian Rockies, and we kind of went that west to east saying, oh, you got the westerlies, and we found out quick, nah, they're kind of a phantom. You know, we hit a lot of headwind across the country. We were riding. We just flipped a coin, my brothers and I. We had one bed and three guys. Who gets the bed? Well, you know, one brother lost and the other two got the bed. I could go on and on, the stories and the experiences I had on that trip.
Well, you know, that's kind of one of the really nice things about Brian's well, you know, anybody who goes on a trip, a long trip like this, winds up with a lot of really good stories, but not all of us can write them down into a book. That is so interesting. And we've got a note from Tanya on Facebook about your book, and she says, "I'm trying to pace myself, but I'm pedaling through this book at a lightning pace. I've already devoured 216 pages after having it in my hands for less than 24 hours.
Wow.
A wonderful, honest, powerful story that I think really resonates with our millennial generation especially."
Wow, that is so flattering. Thank you, Tanya. It's the exact feedback I didn't know that I wanted to hear. Thank you so much.
You should go on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page at some point and shoot her a note back and say, "Hey, thanks, Tanya."
Yeah, I certainly will.
Yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful. Terry on Facebook also. Here's another Facebook, and I definitely want to get this in because you are going to be reading from your book in Land O'Lakes on July 1st.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually getting on a train from Portland on Saturday and heading back to Milwaukee, where I'll catch a ride up to Land O'Lakes, and I'll do the first reading on my book tour by bike on the 1st. And so I'll be reading in the town hall, which is actually the old elementary school where I went to kindergarten through second grade, and so excited to start off there. And then from Land O'Lakes, I'll be riding to Chicago by way of Washburn, Mercer, Duluth and Minneapolis, Minnesota, Madison, and Milwaukee, and stopping for readings, but riding in between. So I get to get out and take a bike trip again, which is just totally thrilling that I can do that while, you know, celebrating this book being out in the world.
Oh, and now you're mentioning a lot of places here. Where do we go to find out the dates, the specific dates for all the places you're going to be at across Wisconsin?
The best place is I have an author website. It's Brian Benson Writes, WRITES.com. And there is a page on there called Book Tour by Bike. Mm-hmm. And so it has more about all the destinations and a lot of information there.
And somebody wanted to know, would you repeat where you're from, the town where you're from?
Right. Yeah, I'm from basically from Conover, Wisconsin, but you know, we grew up like so many people in the area in the woods outside of that town. So I basically am from Conover, Land O'Lakes, and Eagle River, Wisconsin. So I have strong ties to those three towns and about, you know, 15 other tiny ones in the area.
And a couple of more Facebook wondering what kind of bike we did mention, but go ahead and mention it again. And was it a road bike, hybrid, and so forth?
The bike was a Fuji touring bike.
Yeah, a nice bike. And Eric in an email said a friend and I rode from Paris to Pamplona, Spain in 2000, camping and carrying all of our gear. The trip totaled about 1,000 miles and went over the Pyrenees. It was by far the greatest trip either of us have ever taken.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yes, it does. Well, you had an amazing trip with Rick. Have you done this? You've done many more trips. Have you tended to do them alone, or do you still go with people?
You know, I got to do one trip from Chicago to my hometown with my dad, which was really, really great.
Mm.
I rode back across the country by myself as well, which, that was the first time I'd actually done any riding alone. And so it was a big experience to go the whole way across the country. And then, yeah, to Oakland by myself as well. But Portland is situated in such an amazing spot where you can ride for a day or 2 days and be, you know, at Mount Hood or the Oregon coast or Dande in the desert. And I've done a lot of rides in the area with close friends, you know, and just, ride out to the coast for a weekend, camp on the beach and come back. And I love both, you know. I think that there's something wonderful about sharing the experience with others. And then also just something that's kind of hard to describe about being there, you know, being out there on your own and it being a really hard day, but just knowing that you're out there because you wanted to do it. And it's just a really great feeling. So I like both for different reasons.
Looking back, is there an important lesson you learned about yourself? Are there any important lessons you learned about yourself?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like kind of the lesson I learned from the trip is one of many, is that, you know, like I said, I was really freaking out about pretty much every decision and all the choices before me. And what the trip felt like was, you know, just picking this distant, vague, fuzzy destination and moving toward it. You know, and then at a certain point, forgetting what I was moving toward and picking my head up and realizing it was something different that was there in front of me. And just having faith in doing that, you know, choosing something and trying to move toward it and maybe getting there, maybe not, but just doing that, you know, moving rather than just sitting and vacillating about what job to take or what cookie to buy or not buy or all the other things that I spent way too much time worrying about.
Well, you've written a really interesting book, and as Tanya said, she's peddling her way through this book at a lightning pace. A wonderful, honest, powerful story that she says I think really resonates with our millennial generation, especially. But I think I'm beyond millennial, and it resonated with me. So I think it will resonate with lots of people, and I. Thank you so much. And we did not cover, I mean, there are so many things we could be talking about relating to the book, so many experiences that Brian writes about that I'm sure you're going to want, if you're at all interested in biking and relationships, here's a book for you. And Brian, again, thank you so much. Maybe we'll see you when you're in Madison.
I hope so. Larry, thanks so much for having me on the show. This was a blast.
Brian Benson. Grew up in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, now lives in Portland, Oregon, and he teaches writing at the Attic Institute. He's a good writer, and this is his first book, and it's a memoir, Going Somewhere, A Bicycle Journey Across Wisconsin. He's going to be in Wisconsin, first in Land O'Lakes on July 1st at 6 p.m. Copies of the book will be available there. He's going to be reading there, and then he's going to be biking south across Wisconsin, and you should go to his site. I believe we have I think I've got a link to his to the site that he mentioned. You can go there. Yeah, we have it up, which will tell you when he's in various other places in Wisconsin and probably Illinois as well. So great talking with him. Hard to imagine. And he does a wonderful job of describing all the incredible nature that you see at a bike trip like that. He knew and he loved the landscape of northern Wisconsin before he even took that trip. Coming up next, we're going to find out what species are threatening some of those ecosystems that we've come to love. June is Invasive Species Awareness Month, and we have some great experts from the Department of Natural Resources to tell us what we can do to help. I hope you'll stay tuned here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.